Let's take our Bibles, open the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And not going to be super long. I knew that we were going to try to do this morning, and so I'm trying not to preach as long of a message. But in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse number 7 and 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Father, I pray that you just continue to bless the service. Lord, thank you for allowing the technology and things to work so that we could be able to just visit a short time with Pastor John and his family. And Lord, we do pray that you'd continue to bless his family, bless the ministry there. And Father, I pray that you just bless our service now. Use the message to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to look to you and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we saw in verses 4 through 6 that Jesus Christ is the living stone. He is the cornerstone that we are to build our lives upon. He says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." So in verse number 4, he talks about how this stone, Jesus Christ, is precious. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And he talks about how we who are saved are being built upon Jesus Christ, and we are to be lively stones. We are alive. We're not to be dead. We are to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Again, notice he uses that phrase again, that Christ is precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Watch what he says in verse number 7. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." How many times in these verses did the Bible talk about Jesus Christ being precious? Precious. Again, last week we talked about him being the living stone. He's the cornerstone. And we know that in today's society, many of people are building their lives on all kinds of foundations that just do not last. Success and popularity and fame and money and relationships and things, and these just don't last. We're seeing more instability than ever before because these foundations are not, they're not deep, they're not strong. And so Peter is writing, and he's writing to these believers and encouraging them to build their life on that foundation that cannot fail. But here's what we find in these two verses this morning. Every person must decide what to do with Jesus Christ. And Peter gives us a very simple, but a very weighty and powerful truth. The same Jesus, again, we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. We're not talking about what other people claim Jesus to be. No, we're talking about Jesus of the Bible, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the creator of the universe, Jesus the second person of the Trinity. We're talking about that Jesus. The same Jesus produces two completely different responses. To some, he is precious. To others, he's a stumbling stone. Same Jesus. But that Jesus will produce two different responses. And what we have to find out from our own personal life, not from our family, not from our friends, but for our own personal life, is what is he producing in our life? Is he precious or is he a stumbling stone? You see, there's no middle ground here. There is a dividing line, and you must choose which side you're going to be on. I remember when I was a kid, I remember watching an old movie called The Alamo. And Colonel Travis came out at night and he said, "Look, the enemy is out there." And I remember him, he drew his sword and he drew a line in the sand. And he said, "If you're going to fight and you're going to be on our side, come over to this side. But if you're not, You stay over there. He drew a line in the sand, and that's basically what Peter is saying. Peter is drawing a line in the sand, and he's saying, hey, you have to make a choice which side. There's no middle ground here. There's some gray area. No, Peter is showing very clearly that there's one of two sides that you're on. Either Jesus is precious to you, or he's a stumbling stone to you. And so we have to ask ourselves, which side of the line are we on? There's no middle ground. You can't ignore the stone. You're either going to build your life on him or you're going to trip over him. And I want you to notice a couple things that the Bible tells us here in these two verses. Notice, first of all, and again, we talked a little bit about this last week, verses 7 and 8 are very similar to what we saw last week in verses 4, 5, and 6, because he's continuing this thought here. But he says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. So the first thing we find is the precious stone. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that he is precious to you. I hope that he is precious. The word precious has the idea of being valuable, being honored, being treasured above all else. I think, just from hearing Pastor John, I think you can tell that Gertrude was precious to him. She was precious to him. And now that she's in the presence of the Lord, as he said, I feel like half of me is gone. I feel like half of me is gone, but he said, I know one day we'll be together again. She was precious to him. I wonder, is Jesus precious to us? To the believer, Jesus is not just useful. He should be everything to us. He's not just someone that we go to when we want something. No, he should be everything to us in our life. He should be the one that we go to in times of joy and in sorrow and in difficulty and in everything that we do in life. Jesus Christ ought to be the one that we go to because he's precious. He is the precious stone. Is Jesus precious to you? Why should he be precious to us? I think we could give many, many reasons why Jesus should be precious, but can we just think for a moment? He saved you when you could not save yourself. Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth and he was willing to die on the cross to save you from your sins because you and I cannot save ourselves. May I say, just for that reason alone, because of salvation, Jesus Christ ought to be precious to us. Yet so many times we don't even take time to read his word. We don't take time to communicate with him in prayer and communing with him throughout the day. He ought to be precious to us because of what he has done. He's forgiven you when we were guilty, when we deserved to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Yet he's forgiven us of our sins. He's changed you when you were broken, without hope, lost. And yet Jesus Christ was willing to give you a new life. And he strengthens us when we're weak. When we can't seem to find a way to go through the trials and the tribulations of life, we know that his strength is there. I mean, everything that about our life ought to be about Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid so many times as Christians, Jesus just becomes familiar to us. He just becomes familiar. Right? We talk about him, we go to church, we sing about him, and he just becomes familiar to us and not precious to us. Can I encourage you this morning, don't let Jesus just become familiar to you. Make sure that he stays precious in your life. We need to value him above everything else. We should value him above comfort and above reputation, above possessions, above a position at work. We should value him above everything else. Do we truly see that he is precious? I believe you can tell what Christ means to you by what you're willing to do without for him? What would we be willing to do without for him? So many times we just want the comforts. We just want the easy life. But may I say, if he's truly precious to us, there won't be anything that we aren't willing to do without for the cause of Jesus Christ, for his sake and for his glory. Jesus ought to be precious. Three different times here he talks about that he is precious, he's precious, he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I want you to notice the second thing here. He says, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So not only do we see the precious stone, but we also see the rejected stone. The stone which the builders disallowed. And again, Peter is quoting from Psalms 118. He's using, referencing Isaiah as well. The stone which the builders disallowed. Again, having that idea of examining something and disqualifying it, examining it and saying, I don't want it, I'm rejecting it. We don't want this anymore. He's rejected. They've evaluated Christ. Again, think about as Peter is writing to these believers, you know, in that day when Jesus came, the Bible says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own. And what does it say about his own? His own received him not. Think about all that he did in those 33 and a half years of his life, the miracles that he did and the teaching and everything that he did, and not one thing could be found at fault with him. And yet they rejected him. In John chapter 6 and verse number 66, one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, it says, from that time, many of his disciples followed him no more. Even those that were claiming, oh, we're followers of Jesus Christ, chose to turn away, say, no, we want nothing to do with this man. The very ones that were shouting on what we call Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, and just a few days later were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. They rejected Jesus Christ. The same Jesus, to one, he's precious, to another, he's rejected. Why do people reject Jesus Christ? I mentioned this last week. I don't think it's because Jesus is unclear. I think people reject Jesus because he is clear. He's very clear. People reject Jesus Christ because he confronts them of their sin. When we come to Jesus Christ, we have to understand that we are a sinner, that we are without hope, that we have fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin. And we don't like to admit that we're sinners. We don't like to admit that we have done wrong. We like to think that we're good enough. Again, it's so interesting to me when you look at so many religions that most religions are based upon being a good person. Try to be a good person. Try to do good. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. Be a good person. And maybe one day you'll be able to make it. I don't know about you, but I don't want my eternal destiny on a maybe. Maybe you'll make it. Maybe you'll be able to have enough good and outweigh the bad. Maybe. No, I don't want a maybe. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know that my home is in heaven with Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. We can know that through him. And yet many reject him because they do not want to admit that they're sinners. They reject him because, can we be honest? Jesus Christ demands surrender. We have to be willing to surrender to him. We have to be willing to say, all right, Lord, it's my life now belongs to you. Whatever you want for it, I'm willing to do it. And here's the thing, we don't like to take our hands off. We want to keep our hands on our life. We want to control everything that we do. And yet Jesus says, if you're going to come to me, you've got to surrender. In fact, he says, we have to come with him with childlike faith. The faith of a child, just complete surrender. I can remember when I was younger and we had babies still at home. And I remember when we went to Uganda, the first time Megan was probably, I don't know, 6 months old or something. And I can remember And Ugandans, they treat their kids a little bit different. But I can remember we were in the church, and I had Megan, and I was throwing her up in the air and catching her. And she's just squealing and giggling and things. And all of the Ugandans that were there, they thought I was abusing her. They thought I was going to drop her. They thought I was the worst father in the world, you know. But she was having a great time. She was just squealing, giggling. She wasn't even concerned. Understand, that's that type of faith that God wants us to have in him. Just trusting him. That childlike faith to realize that God is in control and he knows what's best. Or do we have to have our hands on it? Do we have to say, no, I cannot surrender to him? Don't reject Jesus Christ because you're unwilling to surrender to him. Don't reject Jesus Christ because you won't admit that you're a sinner in need of a savior. They rejected Jesus Christ. Their heart was resisting him. They had rejected him. The stone which the builders disallowed. They completely rejected Jesus Christ. They said, we don't want anything to do with him. But notice it says, the same is made the head of the corner. The stone that they rejected became that cornerstone, the most important part of the structure. Look, friend, can I tell you this morning, you can reject Jesus Christ, but you cannot change who he is. You can reject him. That's true, you can. This is what the Bible says. There are many that rejected Jesus Christ, but that does not change who he is. You can say, well, I don't believe the Bible is the word of God. That's fine, but it doesn't change that the Bible is the word of God. And many today are saying, well, I don't want to submit my life to him. I don't want to follow him. And so I'm going to reject him. That's fine. You can reject him, but understand with the rejection, there is also consequences. There are consequences to the rejection. God has made him the cornerstone. But when we reject Jesus Christ, there are consequences. You think about what happened, Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, look, here's the garden. You can stay here and you can eat of every tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God said, hey, you can eat of all the trees, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. The day you do, you will die. God said, here's the consequences. Now you're free to make the choice that you want to make, but I want you to know what the consequences are. The consequence is the day that you eat of it, you will die. But the choice is yours. Friend, we understand what happened. Adam and Eve chose to follow their own way. They chose to reject God. They chose to disobey. And they were plunged into sin. Can I tell you something? Their rejection of God didn't change who God was. It didn't change the consequences. They still died. Friend, you can say, well, I'm just not going to believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to believe God. But that doesn't change who God is. And that doesn't change that the consequences are real. And the Bible tells us that a person who dies without faith in Jesus Christ, that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity separated from God. That's the consequences. God tells us this. Are we willing to submit to him? Are you trying to make Jesus to become who you want him to be? He was rejected. But I want you to notice the third thing here, and this is where I really want to focus this morning, is he was the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone. Think about what he says. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What does that mean, a stumbling stone? I mean, we understand the Bible says Jesus is precious. We see that God says that. And we understand that there are those that are going to reject Jesus Christ as well. They want nothing to do with him. But it says that he's also a stumbling stone. A stumbling stone. And a rock of offense. Instead of building on him, people are tripping over him. Again, we understand that people reject Jesus Christ because they don't want to admit they're a sinner. they want to be able to somehow try to save themselves. And yet Jesus says, he is the only way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the gospel is not offensive in tone. Understand that? It's not offensive in tone. It's offensive in truth. God shows us very clearly that he loves us. He loves every sinner. He wants them to be saved. The Bible tells us very clearly that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay for all sin. All sin, not just a few sins, but all sin. His blood is sufficient. He wants every person to be saved. He wants every person to have that gift of eternal life to be with him. He's made a way, but the way is only through Jesus Christ. You see, it's not the tone that is offensive, it's the truth, because man does not want to admit that Jesus is the only way or can be the only way. Man wants to find some other way. And so what happens is Jesus Christ becomes a stumbling stone. What is it about Christ that causes people to stumble? And when I'm looking this morning, I want to really kind of hone this in to those who call themselves Christians. If you're saved, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're supposed to be building on the stone. But I'm afraid that many Christians are tripping over the stone. We're stumbling over it. We're tripping over him. Why? Why aren't Christians building on him? Why are we tripping over him? Is it his authority? Is it that we don't want his authority in our life? Is it when we come to the word of God and we see God says, hey, this is what I want for you. We say, no. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'll come to church. I'll have a Bible. But Lord, you want to control my life. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. And what happens? Instead of building on the stone, we're tripping over the stone. He says he is that stone of stumbling. Is it his call to serve? Is that what it is? Because we don't want to surrender our life to him and we don't want to serve him. And so because of that, we're not willing to give ourselves to him and say, Lord, whatever you want for my life, it's yours. Whatever you want. Just this week, I was meeting with a couple young men and each of them, I told them, I said, the thing that I've just simply told God is, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. You want me to be a missionary? I'll be a missionary. You want me to be a pastor? I'll be a pastor. You want me to be a Sunday school teacher? I'll be a Sunday school teacher. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm just willing. You just tell me what you want me to be. Why are we so afraid to tell the Lord that? Why are we so afraid to say, God, whatever you want me to be, I'm willing to be. Whatever you want me to be, a Sunday school teacher, you want me to be a bus driver, you want me to vacuum, whatever you want me to be, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing to do. Why are we so afraid of that? I can tell you why. Because we're not building on the stone, we're tripping over the stone. We're not allowing him to control us. We're still trying to control our life. Oh, we're not rejecting him. No, we've accepted him. We've put our faith and trust in him. But we're not building on him. We're tripping over him. We're not allowing him to control us. We're not allowing him to make us to be what he wants us to be. It's interesting in Luke chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says this, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? And he refers to this same passage that Peter's referring to. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. So Jesus in Luke, he refers to this same passage going back to Psalms and going back to Isaiah. But watch what Jesus says here. He says this in verse number 18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, will grind them to powder. What's he saying? He says, if we're willing to fall upon the stone, if we're willing to recognize who Jesus is and come to him, he said, oh, guess what's going to happen? We'll be broken. We have to get rid of pride and we have to humble ourselves. We're willing to say, Lord, I can't do it. I need you. We have to be willing to be broken, because here's the alternative. He says, if you fall upon the stone, you'll be broken. But if the stone falls upon you, you'll be crushed to powder. I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather be broken than crushed to powder. I think I'd rather be broken and let Jesus Christ take the pieces of my life and say, hey, man, you thought you had it made, but you really don't. And I'm gonna take the broken pieces of your life and make them to be what I want you to be. I don't know how many times people have come into our auditorium, and they're like, oh, this is a beautiful auditorium. Like, we love the stained glass windows. The stained glass windows are so awesome. One thing that I think we understand about stained glass windows is it's not just one piece of glass. It's many pieces of glass that have been shaped to make one beautiful window. And you might think, man, it just seems like my life is falling apart. It just seems like I'm trying to follow God, and it just seems like I've got a piece over here and a piece over here and a piece over here. Can I tell you, friend, let God take those and make them what he wants them to be in your life. Let him make you to be what he wants you to be. Because if not, if we're not willing to fall upon him and let him make us to be what he wants us to be, it's gonna be the other way. And the other way is never good. The other way will never turn out good if he's having to completely crush us and grind us to powder because we're so disobedient, we're so unrepentant and not willing to follow him. And I say it's not gonna be a good thing. Look what he says. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. What is it that causes us to stumble? It's disobedience. People don't stumble because they can't believe. They stumble because they won't obey. I'm not gonna be obedient to what God says. I know that this is what God says in his word. I know this is what God wants me to do, but I'm not gonna obey, and we stumble instead of building on it. And I'm afraid in Christianity today, I'm afraid that there are many Christians, instead of building on the stone and just simply surrendering their life and saying, Lord, whatever you want, there's a lot of Christians that are stumbling over Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't believe who Jesus is. No, they believe who he is, but they're not willing to be obedient. And again, notice what he says, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You understand that unbelief is not just intellectual. It's not just, I don't understand. No, it's, I won't submit. I'm not willing to submit to what God wants. I'll be very honest with you. I'm very thankful that there's nothing that you and I have to do to earn our salvation. Very thankful that we don't have to do that. We simply have to submit to God. We submit to his plan. We submit to him and say, Lord, I cannot save myself, and I repent of my sin, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But now that I'm saved, now that I am that lively stone being built, he says, I want you to surrender. I want you to obey. I want you to do the things that I want you to do. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, so many times I think we know verses, but we don't really stop and really think about what God is trying to tell us in them. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice in verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God's? And notice this last phrase, and ye are not your own. Now, Paul is writing to believers here, and he says, hey, don't you understand that if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your body, your physical body, is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And you are not your own. You don't belong to you. Why? Why does he say that? Notice the next verse, verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says, you do not belong to you because you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. You belong to him. If you're saved here this morning, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you belong to God. And here's what God is simply asking you to do. Will you obey him? Will you be obedient to him? Will you build your life on that cornerstone, on Jesus Christ? Or are you going to stumble over Jesus Christ? Why do we have such a hard time simply submitting to what God wants for us? Why do we have such a hard time just saying, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you, whatever you want. I belong to you. You tell me what you want me to do. You tell me what you want. This tie is mine. I know you guys are envying it, but it's mine, all right? It's my tie. It's mine. I bought it. That means I can take this tie and I can do anything I want to with this tie. I can do anything I want. I could take this tie and I could tie one of these guys up. Do it. Yeah, do it. They're all pointing at which one I should. I can take this tie and I can choose to give it away. I can take this tie and I can burn it, which I believe all ties should be burned anyway. But I can do anything I want with this tie. You know why? It's mine. This tie has no right to say anything about what I do with it. No right at all. And here's the other thing. You don't have any right to say what I do with this tie either. You have no right. You can say, oh, you shouldn't burn it. I can if I want. Oh, you shouldn't throw it away. I can if I want. You have no right to tell me what I can and cannot do with this because it's not yours. Now follow me. Why do we think we have the right to tell God what we can and can't do with a life that belongs to him? I have no right to tell God what I want to do with my life. It's not mine. And here's what happens is instead of building on this living stone, we try to say, well, hey, it's my life. I want to be able to do what I want. I've got plans for my life. Man, I've got some amazing plans. You know, I've got this going on and I've got this plan and I've got that plan and I've got some amazing plans that I have for my life. The only problem is we never ran it by Jesus. We never went to Jesus and said, Lord, is this what you want for my life? Is this what you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Why are we so afraid to just simply go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're so afraid that he's gonna send us to Africa. We're so afraid he's gonna call us to be a preacher. Ladies, you don't have to worry about that, right? We're so afraid of, wait a minute. Why are we stumbling over the stone that we're supposed to be building on? We're stumbling in disobedience to God and saying, Lord, I'm not gonna do it because I have my plans. And this is what he says. We're stumbling in disobedience to what God wants. He says, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient. We persist in being disobedient to God. Somehow we think just showing up on Sunday, that's what God wants. That's what God's will for my life is, just showing up on Sunday. And the rest of the 6 days of the week belong to me. Wait a minute. Why would the rest of the 6 days belong to you? Your life still belongs to God. And here's the thing, friend. If the stone is precious to us, we won't stumble over it. If it's precious to us, we will build our life upon it and let him make us to be what he wants us to be. The problem, the reason that we don't is because, just as he said, we are in disobedience to God. And when we read what God has for us and what God tells us to do, we stumble over it because we don't trust him. We don't see that he is precious to us. There is a dividing line. We're either going to be building on the stone, or we are going to reject the stone if we're not saved. If we are saved, are we stumbling over it? Are we stumbling over what he has in his word? Is Jesus precious to you? Or are you stumbling over what he's given you in his word? Are we building on him? Are we tripping over? Look, we know what he says to do. We know it's not something new. But the question is, are we being obedient to Jesus Christ? Are we truly obeying him, or are we just hearing him? Has he just become familiar to us that we just, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'll just, you know, if I have time, I will. If I don't, oh well. You see, he's not precious to us. He's just familiar. God says he wants that stone to be precious. It was precious enough for you to die for your sins. He's precious enough to save us and to give us a home in heaven. Is he not precious enough to serve, to be obedient to, and to build on that living stone? I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you have rejected Jesus Christ. You've said, I have not put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've tried to be religious. I've tried to be a good person, but I've never repented of my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. Friend, if that's you, we would love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I died, where I would go. That's me. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Someone else, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm uncertain. Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you'd like someone to talk with you, we would love to take God's word and show you how you can be saved. Don't reject Jesus Christ. Don't reject him. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants you to know that you can have that gift of eternal life. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. Get that settled today. Christian, you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. But here's my question. Are you building on the stone, or are you tripping over the stone? You tripping over him because we don't want to be obedient to him. We're tripping over him because we don't want to surrender. We're tripping over him because we don't want to follow him. We're tripping over him instead of building on him. Friend, can I tell you, there's no greater life than to build on Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some areas in your life you know you've been tripping over. You know what God says in his word, and you're not being obedient to it. You're not surrendering to him. You're not allowing him to lead you, to guide you, to control your life. Maybe this morning you need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been building on the stone. I've been tripping over the stone. I've been on the wrong side of this line. Instead of building on Jesus Christ, he's been that stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, because of my disobedience to what God has said in his word. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, may we never allow Jesus Christ to be a stumbling stone. But Lord, may we build upon that living stone, to build upon Jesus Christ and what he has for us. Lord, I pray for those that raised their hand this morning that are uncertain, they're not sure if they're saved. Lord, I pray that during the invitation, they would come. Let us take the word of God and show them how they can be saved. Lord, as you work now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.